Well, if you have a Bible this morning, you may want to turn with me to Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 2. And we're going to pray that God would make this really speak into your heart and your mind. I'm talking about staying free, how to get free and how to stay free. Many people, I'm sad to say, are not free in the Lord. They might be saved, they might be born again, but they're certainly not free. There's all types of struggles and bondages in their life and strongholds in their life, and I'm sure they wonder how those got there. How do you get into strongholds and bondages and things? What happens in your life? And better yet, what do you do so you can always walk in freedom and always be able to learn how to take authority against the evil one who would seek to thwart us and to hinder us? And that brings me to Proverbs 26:2. Perhaps some of you have never even seen this verse, so I will trust that I can launch something new in your heart and your mind, make you think about something, and of course always lift up the name of Jesus. Whatever we talk about here, when we talk about the enemy, one of the secrets of dealing with him is we must always talk about his defeat. And so he's the defeated one. We don't talk about him other than that. Another thing, he's the defeated one who Jesus Christ has defeated. And when we're dealing with spirits and demon powers, it's always the same, that our master has defeated your master. That's the only strength and authority. There's nothing in ourselves. There is only that which Christ has done for us, and that strong name and that strong, the power of the shed blood of Jesus that gives us, makes us to be overcomers. So, but listen to this, Proverbs 26 and verse 2, like a sparrow in its flitting, like a swallow in its flying, a curse that is causeless does not alight. Let me read that again. Like a sparrow in its flitting, like a swallow in its flying, a curse that is causeless does not alight. Now that intrigued me. When I read that, oh my goodness, what a verse, what a verse. A curse that is causeless cannot land on me. That requires some prayer. Let's do that. Lord, we pray for your protection over this, your word, that it will come forth with anointing and power, and that, Lord, that you will be exalted, and there would be some 30-fold, some 60-fold, maybe even a 100-fold return on your word this morning. So it's a come, Holy Spirit. Come in power and clarity and anointing and revelation. In Jesus' name, amen. Revelation 12:10 gives us a little clue of the nature of the fight. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. We're told something about the enemy's working. He is the accuser. Always accusing. Always condemning. Always bringing into bondage, if he could. That would be his. Always to cause despair. Always to cause hopelessness. Whenever you see hopelessness, you know that the enemy has been there. Whenever you see despair, you know the enemy has come. That's associated with him. He brings broken hearts and broken lives and accusations and condemnations night and day. The Bible says night and day. So even while we are praising the Lord night and day, the enemy would seek to bring accusations against his people. So we must learn how to battle, how to fight, how to know the nature of it while we're resting in the Lord. Okay, that's just part and parcel of it. So God's plan for our lives is for us to be set free from sin. That's what Calvary's cross is all about, right? For us to be set free from sin, but also to be delivered from strongholds and bondages that we have brought in with us, the suitcases we've brought in with us from the world. That's where it is found. It is when we lived in the world and we served the world, and now we love the Lord and serve the Lord, and we're aware that there are many things that have just lodged in our life that need to go in order for us to have greater victory and total victory, actually. So here's the thought, that we stumble heavenward our whole lives. As far as just growth and growth in sanctification, growth in holiness, we stumble heavenward. We'll always, in other words, I'm in process. It takes from the time that I, as a teenager, when I came to know Jesus, and that new life exploded inside my heart, when I invited Jesus into my life, it explodes in. It has taken I'm 62 this year. It's taken that many years to reach my fingertips. It's not even there. I mean, you know, there's major things going on, but to my finger, it just takes a while. You and I will stumble heavenward forever. That's not going to happen. There's no deliverance from that, right? There is just the reality that we are becoming, I trust, increasingly like our Lord, and someday we'll be exactly like him. So we stumble heavenward. Maturity takes a lifetime, right? Sanctification and growth in holiness takes a lifetime. So be very patient with yourself when it comes to that. So that's different. Growth towards Christ is different than what I'm going to be talking about this morning. So I wrote this statement: although maturity takes a lifetime, freedom is instantaneous. Freedom is instantaneous. Bondage from the oppression of the accuser is now. Not that, well, over your lifetime, you'll gain some freedom. No, I believe maturity takes forever. Freedom is instantaneous. That's the Lord's plan. Freedom in Christ. That's a good title. It's freedom in Christ. Freedom in Christ is ours now. And we declare it and we claim it and we enjoy it. So our scriptural text, just a gem of a text, says a curse that is causeless does not alight. Oh, how demon spirits, if you knew anything about demon spirits, you would know how demon spirits wish that they could torment believers without legal rights. They would wish that. Oh, they would wish that. I wrote this, don't they wish that they had more than the power of a lie? But that's all they have, is the power of a lie. That's how people are kept in darkness, because of the power of a lie. And the truth of the matter is, because people say, can I just be walking down the road and all of a sudden there's some kind of an attack on me and demons are coming on to me and coming into me? Is that? No, it doesn't happen like that. And it'll never happen like that. They don't have that kind of power. They just don't have that kind of power. If they did, we'd all be in trouble. If they could kill us, they would kill us by now. If they could completely overwhelm us, they would have done it by now. They don't have that. That's just the truth of it. We'd all be sick. We'd all be dead if it worked like that. If demons could do whatever damage, whatever they chose to do, we'd be in a huge trouble. We'd be in huge trouble. The truth of the matter is, they can't, and they aren't able. They would love to be able to, but they must. I'll talk about this in a moment, but they must have legal rights. And a curse without a cause. That's the point of the sermon here this morning. So I wrote this. However, all demon powers are limited to the truth of God's word. To the truth of God's word and the principality set forth by God himself. That all truth must line up to what Jehovah God has said about it. And we thank God. Even Jesus, when he is tempted by the devil, you remember, he said, it is written. It is written. It is written. Not that that wasn't a battle in itself, because angels had to come and minister to him. You remember that? After he said, after the devil tempted, the angels had to come. So there was a battle going on there, but that was Jesus' answer. It is written. Get behind me, Satan. And praise the Lord for that thing that we can see. So according to our text, there are no causeless curses. That is, curses just can't happen because demon spirits want them to. So many people say, I feel like I'm under a curse. I feel like I'm just... Oh, I don't know. That's how they often express it. But they can't just happen because demon spirits want them to. There must be a legitimate cause. So we're interested in causes. Not so much the effects, but the causes. No consent, no curse. More important, I think, than recognizing the curse, in other words, the nature of the attack, more important than that is discovering what caused it. Why is it that I don't have freedom in that? Why is it that I'm under that? Why is that? Fine. So go back to the cause, and you will find some great areas to yield over to the Lord. So what about legal rights? Oh, it's everything. It's very, very important that you understand that, and that I understand it. You see, demonic forces must have legal rights or legal permission. They just have to. Even Job, right? The enemy could only do, God says, you can go this far, no further. You can do this, but you can't do anything else. God had the final word. There was rights and permissions, but only was as God allowed it. So rights and permissions that are recognized by Jehovah God must happen in order to gain access to believers. So if there is spiritual bondage in your life, or if you have a friend that's got spiritual bondage, or if it's yourself, spiritual bondage in your life, it came because of permission, and it came because of consent. That's the only way. They can't bother me whatsoever unless I give consent, unless I won't deal with something in my life so that that curse can settle on me. Right? So I take this really, really seriously because I believe this to be something of really of great importance, that if there is spiritual bondage in your life, it's because of consent or permission on your part, and you yourself now, me myself now, must shut the door and cancel out the consent. So whatever door I've left open, I have to shut the door, I've got to shut the window, I've got to remove the consent, I've got to remove the permission. Somebody said, well, you may not have deliberately given permission, you may not deliberately have given consent, but do you think the enemy cares about that, whether you knew what you were, he doesn't. But you do have the right to close the door. And I find the Lord doesn't close the door. He wants me to close the door. Right? That's just what he wants. He wants me to close the door that I've left open. And it's a great thing and a precious thing to be able to do that, to cancel out the consents. Say, Lord, if through my disobedience, Lord, through my unforgiveness, through this, through that, through that, if I have opened a door, if I've given over any territory, if I've surrendered anything to the enemy because of my attitude, I cancel it out now. I repent. I turn away. I renounce. I denounce. In Jesus' name, I shut that door. And I will walk in freedom in that area. But I have to do that. That's part of it, to stand against the lies of the enemy. So, in keeping the doors closed and the windows shut, that's our ongoing job. I've often wondered, you know, you read about this, and I've been on the road a fair amount of time to observe a lot of human behavior, and I've noticed that oftentimes pastors fall and evangelists fall, and everybody says, oh boy, you know, the leaders are really under attack. Yeah, I don't doubt that. But why? What area have I left open? Because I don't think you're just sitting at your desk one day reading Pilgrim's Progress, and the next minute you're with, whatever situation you're in some seedy motel. And say, how in the world did I get here? Right? But you wonder, don't you wonder, how did that ever happen? Do these people not know the Word? Do they not have any prayer? Are you kidding? They have prayer teams. They have all kinds of things. And still, because, and I believe because if I have a susceptibility, it's because I've left the window open. I left the door open. And that's all. Do you know what the enemy is doing today and tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day? He's looking. That's his job. He's seeking whom he may devour. Don't minimize this in even any way and shape and say, who is he talking about? Talking about you and me. The enemy's job is to look. And he looks and seeks to somebody that has got a door open and a window open. That's what he does. That's how it works. And my job, every day, I've got to shut doors, got to close windows, got to take back territory, because we're knee-deep in it. We're way behind enemy lines. And when the accuser of their brethren comes, it's a huge thing that we deal with this. So we keep the doors closed, the windows shut. And so I wrote a little note here that these are some obvious causes that can bring a curse. In other words, opening the door to demonic strongholds in your life. Again, the goal, again, is freedom, right? That's what we're saying. Jesus desires that we not only be free, that we feel free. And I can honestly say, as I look at you this morning, I thank God for freedom in my life. And I've announced to the enemy, I've got freedom today. I'm going to have more freedom tomorrow. I'm going to have more freedom the next day. I'm just going to keep on having freedom and freedom and freedom, because it gets freer as you draw closer to Jesus, right? They say, oh, I thank God for freedom in my life. And so let's look at some of these. I think I've got about seven categories. I probably could be here a long time, so I'll speak fast and you listen faster. All right? So, number one, you see, because all we're doing, folks, all I'm saying here, I'm not trying to talk about the enemy as much as I'm trying to talk about the truth about what he does. But I know this, that these things all contribute. So when I talk about ancestry, we're talking about, you can't be blamed for your ancestry. You don't know what they did, but that's just the whole point, right? Generational sin is the first place you look for struggles in your own life. What were my grandparents about? What were my mom and dad about? What were their parents? Like, what were those? And goes back 1,000 years ago. What was my family? What were they up to? Did they all serve the Lord with passion and purity? I doubt it, right? I doubt it. And so, let me read Exodus 20, verse 5. I'm a jealous God visiting, now here's the little phrase, the iniquity of the fathers. The iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. But of course, there's blessings to those that love him. Iniquity of the ancestors and may be cause for a curse. It may be. The iniquity of the ancestors. See, it's our job, my job, your job, to denounce it. To separate ourselves from generational sins that may have brought demons into the family. That's one of the key areas that you'll get real mileage about when you say, Lord, I bring before you, I bring before my ancestry. My grandma and grandpa and great-grandma and grandpas and grandma and grandpas and on beyond that. You know, was there alcoholism? Was there abuse? Was there occult? Was there this? Was there that? Did they all serve the Lord, or was there suicides? Was there suicides in that? Is there a history of suicide? Is there a history of divorce? See, that's what we're talking about, the iniquity of the fathers. This generational sin that can hold us in bondage because the spirits recognize they try to make another entryway in that chain of people. And I thank God for grace, the grace that's invaded my life. Reaching down in an alcoholic home, not terribly far from Kevin's home, in Swift Current, Davidson is just a stone's throw away from that. But into that town, grace invaded my sister's life and my life, and whatever generational curses were coming down there were canceled when Jesus came into our life. So if you want a prayer that deals with generational sins, the prayer like this to me is, again, the simplicity of it, yet when there's absolute sincerity prayed, it's a very powerful thing. So, Lord Jesus, if there are any spirits who have anything to do with me, in my body, in my soul, or my spirit, because of ancestral sin, I ask you to forgive the sins of all of my ancestors. I don't know if they were Freemasons or occultists or anything else. I ask you to forgive all of my ancestors. I ask you, Lord Jesus, to cancel out, got that? Cancel out, cancel out, cancel out any ground, any territory held against me because of ancestral sin. I want nothing to do with ancestral sin, and I renounce it and I denounce it in the name of Jesus. If I have been subjected to any curses, hexes, ceremonies, oaths, demonic agreements or pronouncements, if there are any evil spirits have been sent against me, I decommission you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I declare myself free from all occult activity. I declare myself free from occult activity on either my father or my mother's family line, and from all ancestors. As a child of God, I declare that the power of the blood of Jesus has set me free from the consequences of generational sins. And so in Jesus' name, I separate myself from the sins of my ancestors. I turn away from anything and everything that displeases the Lord. I now receive freedom in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Now, I can remember one time I was at started with a men's retreat or something. We were just talking about being free from lust. And so I began to ask myself the question, is my lust kind of normal stuff or is it abnormal? I said, am I like everybody else struggling with lots of struggle or am I worse? Or maybe there's a greater problem. So what I did, I made a list of anything that I ever thought was something out of place that was, you know, like the neighbor flashed you or somebody came on to you, or there were some pictures. You know, I would remember when I was making that list, I remember my father had all these men's magazines. Now it kind of looks like the Sears catalog, but at the time, at the time it was pretty racy stuff. I could draw you a picture. How is that for memory? Could draw you a picture, boom, all that stuff. 13 years old, my dad's got the whole pile of magazines in his. Why would he have? You have a 13-year-old son. Why would you have pornographic magazines? Skin magazines, right? So I made a list of anything and every moment. Any moment, anything that was titillating or alluring, I just made a list. And then I just went down every one and I said, I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to cleanse me, even if it wasn't deliberately my doing, but there I was looking at the stuff. And so anything, you know, that racy, dirty joke that got that older kid in your school, you know, the kids in grades, you're all in grade 7 and he shaves. You got yellow fingers because he smokes. I mean, I'm in grade 7, guy's got yellow fingers. You all went to school with him. I did too. And he's winking at the teacher, you know. We thought it was, oh, it's all wink, you know. These are interesting people. So when he gets us younger people around and he tells us a joke, take me the next 40 years of my life to get rid of the joke, right? Because the vileness of it, just like, oh, okay, I didn't need to hear it. But that's just growing up, right? But these are the things. So I said, the point of what I'm trying to say, I don't want to be an impure guy. I want to honor the Lord. And so I made that list and went over all of it just to see if any of those things. Now, somebody said, well, did it make a great difference in your life? No, I don't think so, except for the assurance that I closed the door and shut a window and pulled the rug out. And I need to do that on a regular basis. That's powerful. Well, that's number one, ancestral sin. Listen, check that out in your life. And then pray against it, and I'll talk more about that in just a couple minutes. Number two, lying. You know, here's a strong word. You know who's in the lake of fire? All liars. So let's not minimize this little lie. Are you kidding me? All liars go to the lake of fire. That's what the verse says. We're not even preaching on it. But this is one area or another. If you tell a lie, you might get a demon. If you live a lie, you have a demon. What you attempt to cover, God will expose. What you expose and confess to God, He will cover. You want it covered by the Lord? Confess it to the Lord. That's how it works. See, you see, believing a lie is the power of the demon, of the deceptive spirits. That's what gives him strength. The power of the demon, believing a lie. Believing a lie. See, victory as a believer in Christ hinges upon truth. That's why this is not so much a power encounter, although there's power involved. It is not about a power encounter, it's a truth encounter. It's about allowing truth to invade every area of your life, that there are no lies, there are no half-truths. There's the power of the Lord, a power of the truth working in your life. Victory as a believer in Christ hinges upon truth. So, lies, telling them, living them, and believing them are cause for a curse. So when you decide that you're going to make it mine, that I will tell the truth, even if it hurts me and doesn't make me look good, I'm not going to have lies in my life where, you know, I go through a life with a whole bag of secrets. And have you not met people like that? You just sense, you know them a little bit, because there's a whole bag of secrets and lies and half-truths, and it's a serious thing. So John 8:32, Jesus said, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. I say, amen. Thank you, Lord. I believe that. Lying. You know, I remember there was this woman who left this man, and this is why she said to him as she was going, she said, I'll tell you the real reason why I'm going. I probably said this before. She said, because you don't love the truth. I don't know if you're lying. You're lying to me half the time. I don't know if you're deceiving me. You tell half-truths. You change it around once I catch you. And he said, the reason I'm going is because you don't love the truth. And I do. Well, Pretty powerful, right? I get it. I get that. To love the truth. You see, that would be said of quite a thing about you. If we could say about you and you could say about me, there's a woman, there's a man who loves the truth. Do we always walk in it? No, that's why we confess, right? Say, Lord, I wasn't walking in the light. I wasn't walking in truth. I was walking in bitterness. I was walking in this. And so I confess that and I renounce that. Number three. So number one, ancestral sin. Number two, lying. Number three, unforgiveness. Matthew 18, 34 to 35. Wow. He simply says that if you don't forgive your brother who's forgiven you for endless things, Jesus said, I won't forgive you for the things in your life. See, refusing to forgive is cause for a curse. I would say this, that if there is a bondage problem with somebody who's not free in Jesus, if they're a born-again Christian, I would say this, then almost you could almost go straight from those other two, straight to unforgiveness. Amazing, amazing amount of unforgiveness in the body of Jesus. And what do you say? Oh, it doesn't matter. It's old stuff. And it's not old stuff. It's because you perhaps have not forgiven that person who hurt you. So demons come through the sin. That's how. That's why. How did you give consent? How did you give permission? You gave it through unforgiveness. And so demons come through the sin and they build themselves a kingdom. And because they build themselves a kingdom in that person's life, it must not only be confessed, but cast out. Cast out. I cast out that spirit of unforgiveness. That's what I do. I recognize it, and then I cast it out, if that be the case. Of course, I wrote a little note. This, of course, includes in forgiving not only your parents. Where do you start in this forgiving thing? Start with your parents. Because everybody has to forgive their parents. Hey, by the way, your kids are going to have to forgive you. They're just going to say, Mom and Dad, you weren't always there for me when I really wished you would have been. You misunderstood me. You know. And we have to say, I'm sorry that I asked you to forgive me. I wanted to be. I'm sorry that I was disappointing. So we start with our parents, and then we go to our siblings and our teachers. You know, the teacher that made you feel stupid in grade 5? You remember grade 5? Remember Marcel? You remember grade 5? That was the best 3 years of his life. No, he loved grade 5. I can remember grade 5. I think it was grade 4 or 5. And there was a teacher that called me to the front, and I was never good in math. Oh, some of you know me. Oh, really? I wouldn't have guessed that. And I had to stand up there where she just took kind of shots at me for being, you know, can somebody help one out? You know, isn't he stupid? And that wounds you. And it takes away your confidence completely that you feel stupid, even if you weren't stupid, but that part, you were made to feel stupid. So teachers, your spouse, but here's the thing. Don't forget to forgive yourself. Many don't do this. Many people have great resentments and unforgiveness for themselves, for what they did or didn't do, should have, could have, would have, just didn't do it right. And so they just resent themselves with kind of a self-hatred. So you must forgive yourself as well. And that's why. Why are we doing this? To be free and stay free. Number four, anger, bitterness, hatred, and related sins. Ephesians 4, 26 to 30, 31. Oh, so good. I won't take time to read all these, but I'll just say it for the case if this is being recorded. Ephesians 4, 26, and then verse 30 and verse 31. And it's about, again, forgiving and dealing with stuff in your life. But someone might say that, you know, you don't know what I've been through, Owen. You had a pretty, you know, pretty good upbringing. You don't know what I've been through. You'd be hurt too. You'd be hurt too if you experienced what I've experienced. And I would say, yeah, you're right, but don't let that be an excuse for you. It may be that somebody had it easier. And maybe you have gone through a lot of things where there's a lot of rejection, a lot of just bad things that have happened to you. But don't let that be the reason. Anger, bitterness, hatred, and related sins, they are causes for curses. That's just the truth. So let's move to number five. Rejection. Perception and dejection. These are tough root causes for curses. Rejection. Can I just be to say this? Rejection is horrible. If you've ever been rejected, whether it's real or whether it's just perception, they don't like us. Are you sure? I don't know. Seems like they don't like us. Well, it doesn't even have to be real. When you feel that someone's rejected you, remember, I think I've told this story before, but Val and I met a couple back in our Regina days, and we really liked these guys. Just really, they were cool, and we liked hanging around them, and they were interesting people. And then they just got, every time we phoned, they were busy. And the first time, just 1 week, and it's 2 weeks, and every time we ever tried to get it, they were just busy. And then we kind of looked at one another, and we said, you know, I don't think they want us to be their friends. And they would, you know, we say, oh, you poor, no, it's just the truth. I don't think they did. I think they had enough people in their life that wanted to be their friends, and they just couldn't, couldn't picture Val and I being part of that. Nice people, great, good people. But I remember how we felt. What do you mean they don't like us? Everybody likes us. Show the deception in our lives, right? Everybody likes us. Well, not everybody. That's how we found out. So these are tough root causes. See, rejection is one of life's most intense feelings. You will have few experiences more painful than when somebody rejects you, whether it's your kids or your parents or anybody else that rejects you. It's a very terrible thing. But here's the good news. Isaiah 53:3. What a Lord. What a Savior. He was despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrows. Imagine it. Despised and rejected. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised. Imagine, our Lord was despised by people, by this world. And we esteemed him not. In other words, he was nothing. The good news is that he bore our grief, whatever grief it is from rejection. And he bore and he carried our sorrows. So we sing that old song, or we used to sing a song. He heals the brokenhearted, opens wide the prison doors. He is able to deliver evermore. This one for whom knows what rejection is about you. When you say you don't know what kind of rejection, well, I may not, but Jesus knows. And I know one thing, you didn't have more than him as the Son of God. And so he comes to help us and to replace that rejection with acceptance and true identity in Jesus. Well, let's go to number 6, or F, I think, in your notes. Trauma, depression, betrayal, abandonment, disappointment. Psalm 23:3-4 talk about, he said, he restores my soul. Boy, I'm just grateful for God who restores. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you're with me. Despite the trauma, the depression, the betrayal, the abandonment, disappointment. Lord, you are with me. We bring that. You know, that thing in your life that just changed everything. The death in the family. The move where you moved away from the school you used to go and used to like. Depression, betrayal, abandonment, all these things. Boy, tell you, we sure bring a pile of stuff when we come to Jesus, don't we? We just bring a huge amount and say, what are those bags? Oh, that's my life. That's what all these things have happened in my life. So the Bible comes with it. I just love that verse. He restores my soul. I can't tell you how many times I felt my soul restored. You know, I felt kind of beat up, or I felt overwhelmed. And just be able to come to the Lord and to let him touch me and fill me and to praise his name and to speak in the Spirit, pray in tongues, and to encourage myself in the Lord in the midst of a crisis. Numbers 7, G, irrational fears. Oh, I could spend a whole day just on that. But 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. And we know one thing, if you have fear in your life, number one, didn't come from God. Didn't come from God. Came from some other place. So here's some other, number 8 or H, other door openers. Childhood abuse. Sexual impurity. In other words, there's been areas of promiscuity in your life. Dishonoring your body. Alcohol. Drugs. We keep going. occult, New Age. I wrote this, all causes can be removed. Now, here's the good thing. I think Don Dickerman said it best and said it first when I heard him say this, that here's just some universal truth. Anybody can have a demon. Not maybe in a possession way, if they're Christian, but certainly they can be demonized. And it's not hard. And if you have a demon plaguing your life, it's because of consent and permission. Though it doesn't matter whether it's one demon or none, they all go the same way by the power of the name of Jesus. So it doesn't matter. In a fallen world is easy to have some, for all you went through, it's easy to pick up some bondage in your life. And I'm just saying is that all causes can be removed. That's good news, folks. All causes can be removed. It's so simple that it almost eludes us. Say, no, there's got to be more to it than that. Let's bring in these ministries. Well, I'll tell you, bring in who you want. It'll be the same answer for every person who gets set free. They're removed through repentance. It's removed through confession. Hey, let me go slower. You can do that. You can repent. Can't you? I can. No, I don't know about all this, brother. No, can you not repent? Yes, I can. That's good news. I can repent. Confess. Can you confess? I don't have to tell you what's wrong in your life. You know what's wrong in your life. For even a little bit, you know what's wrong in your life. You know the area that you should confess. So we repent, we confess, we renounce. Right? It's not just a matter of I'm not doing that anymore. I renounce it. But I go beyond renouncing, I denounce it. So it's not just that I'm pulling away myself. Everywhere I go, I'm denouncing that was in my life. Now, we simply command the Spirit to leave and go where Jesus sends him. And I wrote, again, a little note on the side here. I said, remember, there are no curses without cause. And we can maintain the security of what comes and goes directly into our life. Right? Whatever comes into your life, I'm responsible for it. There is no cause that cannot be canceled through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the victory of the cross. That's the victory of Jesus. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter whatever forces have worked against you and they've set up some kind of a kingdom in your life, and we can knock those crowns off and we can call forth those enemy forces and we can command them to go. And again, and I want to be careful. I'm not saying that everything is ever in every chair. There's a demon of anything. I've never been into like that. But I'm simply saying, when there's bondage in your life and you can't grow because of it, then you need to do some serious looking at the truth and applying it to your life, because it's a truth encounter more than it's a power encounter. So, acting on the truth, here's some questions to ask. What event gave legal permission demon spirits to torment? Good question. Great question. What events gave legal permission for demons to torment? Think about that. Anything happen? That time you were drunk for 2 days? Oh, yeah. That time you had sex with somebody else? You think that's why when Paul says that whoever joins himself to a prostitute, he said, they share the same thing. He says there's a bonding that takes place. Paul says, you become one. He says, you become one with that person. So I thought, there'd be a good area, wouldn't it? Wouldn't those be good areas? But I don't have to try and make a list to make you feel guilty. We all know those things. We just know it intuitively that there are areas that could probably, that time that you were so enraged, that everybody was scared of you, even because you were just your eyes were just black what was that about? A spirit of rage in your life, because we could keep going all day. So that's the first question. Number two, what is being stolen from you? Because why do you say that? Well, because in John 10:10, the thief has come to rob, right? To kill and destroy. So here's the question. What is being stolen from you? What is being damaged? And what is dying? To steal, to kill, to destroy. That's the thief. That's the 10:10 thief. Jesus says, I've come that you might have life more abundantly. Wow, freedom. Freedom in Jesus. Here's another thing. Now, have I repented, confessed my sin, and closed the door? Right? Closed the door. And yet, here's another one. Have I cast out the demons and commanded them to leave and go to the abyss where Jesus sends them? Because it's not just a matter of confessing and receiving forgiveness. Now I must speak. And I've done that. I've had something that I felt was kind of looming against me. And I said, in the name of Jesus, I cast you out. It's not just a matter of being forgiven, right? But take authority and cast them out, because that's the only thing, is the command causes them to go. The command always causes dark forces to go. So the command is really important, whether you're praying for somebody or whether you're receiving prayer. Well, walking in truth, committed to truth, receiving and applying the work of the cross and coming into agreement with what God says in His Word brings freedom. And it's the greatest thing. You know, even in Ephesians, right? In Ephesians, where stand therefore. The position is for us is not really that of fighting as much as it is of standing. The standing in truth and declaring yourself free wherever. Now, you know, when you come to the Lord, you have no idea about this stuff, right? You have no idea. All this you say, I give my heart to the Lord, and here I am. And then as you bring these things to Christ so that we're not struggling with it, you know, 25 years down the road, but again, maturity takes a lifetime. Freedom in Christ right now. And God only knows, He wants you to be free, and He wants you to feel free. He wants you to walk in that freedom, the joy of that freedom. And knowing that the accuser will always come and accuse you of 1,000 things. And that's why we have to stand against him. And it's a battle. And we often have felt it. Val and I, as a couple, have felt it. We've felt it as individuals. Just felt the oppression of the enemy to take away our joy and to rob us, to cause us to be anxious. Accusing us night and day, and we're stressed and we're fretting and 1,000 other things happen to us. But there is victory in Jesus. There's a great victory in Him. Stand with me. Get Brother Randy to come. Let's let the words of the text this morning be our kind of our covering here today. There can be no curse without a cause. And if you say, I want to be free in the Lord, then I say, that's great. That's great. Because I do too. Matter of fact, I want people to be able, when I meet them, I want people to say, they're looking at you and they're looking at each other and saying, wow, you're like, it's a song of the soul set free. I'm free. There's no condemnations hitting me. There's no lusts over consuming me. There's no fears wiping me out. There's no anxiety robbing me of sleep. And if there is, I'm going to deal with it. Sometimes I've come from places. I remember a few years ago, I was walking down Lonsdale. There used to be a record store somewhere along there. I walked in the record store, and I came out of the record store, and I felt just a heaviness, just a great heaviness. And by nature, by my personality, I don't usually feel like that. So just right out of the store, right out of the record store. You know, they can be kind of dark, and especially used record stores. I don't know why that is. It's kind of dark in there. And I feel like yelling, snakes knee-deep. I don't know whether it's about used... Used bookstores are not much different either. But I said, that's funny. I walked in there feeling fine. Walked out here feeling oppressed. Just like a band was around, just kind of oppressed. And I just I said, Lord, I don't know what it was. Did I look at an album cover I shouldn't have or something? I don't know, but I just confess it. And I ask you to forgive me. And I renounce anything that I picked up, any interest, anything traveled out here. Now, in Jesus' name, if anything followed me out of that store, I bind and break your power and command you to go in Jesus' name. And just left. That's the authority we have in Jesus. Right? I can remember another time coming out of a hotel with a couple of Christian business guys. And I don't know if she might have been a street worker or something, but just a great feeling of lust came right over me. And I hadn't been thinking about anything wrong. I just, whoa, what's that? I think it came with her. Spirit of lust. Just walking by, comes on me. Again, same thing. Confess, right? Confess it. Yield it to the Lord. Command any, whatever coming from there, I don't want any interest in that. I shut that door, close that window right now in Jesus' name. So can picture it. You go through your life just walking with your eyes on the Lord, and whenever you come across something, remember, the enemy does not have power to attack you unless you give him power, unless you give him permission, unless you give him consent. They must get consent before they can attack. That's just the truth. So I walk in that freedom, making sure now, what is making sure that I'm not giving consents, I'm not giving permissions. That's what it is. That's why people say, well, I've been mad at so-and-so for 2 months. Why? Why have you been mad at them for 2 months? You have opened so many doors in that. Close the doors. Shut the windows. Take the carpet back. Take back what he's stolen from you. How he's robbed you and tried to kill you. Take authority. Now, we're not chasing stuff. We're not looking for stuff. And be really wary about anybody into territorial stuff. That's none of our business because they have legal rights and legal consent to be there over the atmosphere. You can't decide you're going to rail against the spirit of suicide or spirit of depression or divorce. You do not have the authority for that. I don't have the. I've only got authority for that which is mine. My life, my church, my wife, my friends. That's the only authority I have. Don't go down looking so I'm going to give the devil a fight. You will be very sorry. Don't you go looking for things. Just as you're walking in the freedom and sharing Jesus, if something comes to you, then you shut the doors, confess, command the spirits to go, and say and lift up the name of Jesus. That's it. We're not responsible for what happens in Lynn Valley. We don't have any say in that. They've got legal permission. Right? And so what we do have is that which is ours. To take back and to walk with the Lord. Again, truth, 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 truth in my life. And I can see how strongholds are forming in somebody's life. The guy gets born and there's an assignment, some demonic assignment given through some ancestral sin. At 5, he's abused by some uncle. When he's 15 or she's 15, some promiscuous thing happens there. You're walking down the street, you end up in the watchtower studying Kingdom Hall stuff, and now you got a religious spirit. You end up getting an alcohol problem, now you've got an alcoholic problem on top of that. And pretty soon, your whole life is just, it's just become a kingdom of darkness, stumbling through life. I can see how these things happen. When you come to Christ, then you take each one of these things and I'm going to get rid of that, cast that out of my life. Confessing, announcing, and every sin Jesus will forgive. Everyone, doesn't matter about it. Everyone he will forgive. And we walk in the freedom that he has. It's powerful. It's so wonderful. Amen. Lord, I thank you not just for freedom from sin and giving me eternal life and a home in heaven forever and ever. Lord, but thank you that a certain amount of heaven has come down into my own heart, to the hearts of brothers and sisters here. Because we have freedom in Jesus. That whatever the enemy had in mind, the Lord has turned it out for good. Lord, teach us to be deliberate, on guard, on the lookout. Watch and pray, you said. And so, Lord, I pray that today I will be conscious that not to leave a window open or a door open. to always embrace truth. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters, and thank you for the joy of walking with them and serving God with them. And Lord, I just pray that if anybody is, there's bondage in their life, I just pray that this word will minister deeply to them. Thank you, Lord. We can do much of this just on our own. It's just kind of so simple, so beautiful. We counteract lies with truth. And we bless you and we praise you. Thank you for your love for us. And Lord, if anyone is here who has never really, really passed from death unto life, I pray that today they would open their heart to you and they'd have that real assurance that they belong to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So we bless your name this morning, Lord. We bless your name. We thank you. We thank you that our master has defeated all the other masters. There's none like you. None like you, Lord. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming this morning. And the coffee pot is on. I think it's getting warmer as the weather unfolds. Thanks for coming this morning.